The primary results from Tuesday night represent a genuine realignment signal in Democratic Party politics. Six House incumbents lost, six in a single night. Representative Sri Thanadar of Michigan is the most prominent name. But the pattern across all six races is consistent. Incumbents perceived as insufficiently progressive or insufficiently responsive to grassroots anger over specific issues were replaced by candidates running explicitly on challenges to party leadership. Six in one night is a number that demands explanation beyond primaries are volatile.
For context on why six matters, in a typical primary cycle, you might see one or two incumbent losses across an entire party in a given election year. Losing six in a single evening suggests coordinated effort, organized money, shared infrastructure, a coherent message that resonated enough to overcome the standard advantages of incumbency, which are substantial. Name recognition, donor relationships, committee assignments, staff experience, all of that usually protects incumbents. Overcoming all of it six times in one night is not an accident.
The Tennessee primary produced two results worth noting separately. On the Republican side, Trump-backed Representative Ogles lost his primary, a reminder that Trump's endorsement is not always determinative, particularly when local factors and candidate quality are in play. On the Democratic side, Justin Pearson, one of the Tennessee Three Democrats who was expelled from the state legislature in 2023 for participating in a gun control protest and then immediately reinstated by his constituents, won the Democratic primary for Tennessee's newly redrawn 9th District. He'll face a Trump-backed Republican in November in a race where the district has been redrawn to heavily favor Republicans. It's a test of whether Pearson's national profile and grassroots energy can outperform the map.
Byron Donalds' 31-point lead in the Florida Republican governor's primary puts him in an almost certain position to win on August 18th. The DOJ official's denial of a sex trafficking allegation against him made news, but the allegation doesn't appear to be shifting the polling. Donalds is Trump-backed, comes out of the House Freedom Caucus wing of the party, and would be Florida's first black governor if he wins the general. The general election dynamics in Florida will be worth watching closely.
The legal actions this week cover a surprising range. The federal judge halting the handover of Trump's financial records to the BBC involves a complicated procedural question about what records are subject to congressional or media disclosure versus executive privilege protections. The judge issued a temporary halt, which is not a final ruling, but it buys time for the legal questions to be sorted out.
Senator McConnell's discharge after 50 days of rehabilitation is a human story first, but it has institutional implications. He's 84, he gave no timeline for returning to the Senate, and he'll continue physical therapy at home. McConnell has been one of the defining figures of Senate Republican politics for two decades. His reduced presence creates a leadership vacuum at exactly the moment when the Senate is navigating some genuinely complex legislative terrain.
The federal judge ruling cell tower dump warrants unconstitutional is the kind of Fourth Amendment development that doesn't get the coverage it deserves. A cell tower dump is a technique where law enforcement obtains records showing every phone that connected to a given cell tower during a specific time window, not targeting a suspect, but casting a wide net and then working backward. The court found this extends the logic of the Supreme Court's recent geofence warrant ruling, which held that demanding location data for every device in a geographic area at a given time constitutes a search requiring a warrant tailored to a specific suspect. These rulings are beginning to sketch the boundaries of what digital mass surveillance is constitutionally permissible.
The Trump Birthright Citizenship Order, new executive action after a Supreme Court loss on the underlying issue, suggests the administration is looking for administrative workarounds rather than accepting the court's ruling as final. The court held that birthright citizenship is constitutionally protected. The new orders appear to be looking for narrower implementation edges rather than directly challenging the ruling head-on.